interrupting the current neo-Uranial climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism. To bring you Behind the Woodshed, this is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM494. Now remember, this is the most jam-packed minute in radio for 2 continuous hours. Break free, that is, folks. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport. To get you behind the woodshed and bring these miscreants to justice such that it is. And that's comes the other problem, as we find out everyone just runs away from the system because there is no justice in it, didn't realize we were occupied, and we were supposed to stop that occupation. And when we didn't, we agreed to it. At least that's my findings over 30 years of discussion and research. And when you start to bring this stuff up, apparently you get under people's skin and they don't like it. A program note, for those of you that may get this way late, Sound Minds has essentially now, I think we're seeing his accounts on YouTube are being purged. It was banned. There's the last one doesn't even give a notice. They just took away an account. They piled on at the end. They're claiming their generic violations of the community policy. When you look and read closely to them, they don't. What we're doing here behind Woodshed, what he does not constitute any violation as normal. But this has all been piling on. First, we had the appeals that we were having him. I was having him say, just make the appeal. I mean, you know, it's not going to be. They're just who they are. But make the appeal. Let's work that through. The last so-called appeal, which is really not an appeal, I just call them an unconscionable process. They do not intend to actually have it be any kind of lawful process at all, if you want to go that way. We just put in what we thought would be the right words, and the last time, the appeal that he did do before this one, he had the opportunity. They have not answered it. It's been a lot longer than he has found before. Then they had another one, and then they took away the main page, and they took back another one. Not even an appeal, not even a violation. So he's also having trouble with his anything Google. So my suggestion is, as we have been trying, just avoid everything Google and now YouTube, as I'm moving everything I can find that has an alternative source from YouTube into those links. So you're not going to find, if anything, you're not going to find any of YouTube's posted on the blogcaster. We need to move and find a better platform that will allow us to communicate. So those of us that are listening to Sound Minds, please track him down and go to wherever he's going. I understand he's going to be on Rumble now, and he'll be simulcasting my stuff, and he's going to try and get, he needs 50 or so people I hear on Odyssey to be able to go live like he does. All the help that he provides this broadcast to get the word out. And this is YouTube quietly dropped some COVID censorship policies, but banned channels haven't returned. And now it doesn't end. What they've done is they've changed how they want to violate you. And so you just read what their policy is, and they just make the stuff up. The appeal doesn't really go where they don't even answer. And so all these things should be a good response. But again, it takes people to be able to do this. And we're looking into some of things, but I don't know where we can go with a lot of this than to move. And so again, I'm not going to try and contribute to Google's bottom line or YouTube's bottom line by sending everybody to where they can go watch the ads and get paid just for clicking in. So we're having a real trouble behind the woodshed as far as getting the word out. I ask you all to do that for us. It's kind of a joke over there on Twitter. I don't know. Someone said that their account was suppressed, and my question is it suppressed or is it the cricket? Is it the crickets? I've been on Twitter for about a decade now, and I only got 350 followers. Is that suppression? Which I've been told I am. I mean, I put stuff out. No one responds if I don't particularly put a name in to one of my followers. But no one responds to the things I put out. And 350 followers in 10 in a decade should show either no one's interested in the truth or this, as I say, this historic documentary that we give on telling us what, looking at the past and telling us what the future is. No one's interested in that. And I say no one, but we do have what keeps me going here, every once in a while we get some news, and I just was given some great news, just a little bit. Someone took to what I said about pre-plea remedies and avoidance to heart, and they were able, through caveat, they didn't get it justice in the lowest court, the beginning court. They had to go to the appeals court. But they stuck on those pre-plea remedies and avoidance. What those things are for most people, if you find a traffic ticket section in your code, there may be things that you can do to what they call set aside the citation. Those are some of the pre-plea remedies and avoidance. They're quite a vast amount of things. And all it really is understanding all the due process that's required, all the requirements that are on the state to get you into court. And you can attack everything, every bit of it. And this gentleman who did the research just took the suggestion and made it important, found those things, asserted them in the lower court, was denied, went up to appeal, which means he had to learn how to do that. And it's not that much more, but it is more refined. And that appellate court did, on his assertion of his pre-plea remedies and avoidance, dismiss felony charges. That's what I'm told. I'm thrilled for him. Thank you for taking that on, importantly, for yourself. And then all the hard work it took to pull out what a pre-plea remedy and avoidance is. Remember, this is pre-plea. This is like that preliminary hearing no one gets that we talked about in the imprisonment, false imprisonment section. That's the hearing there. We're all supposed to be all people who understand our law, walk into the judge and say, but you didn't do it right. He didn't do it right. Or you're not doing it right. And how you do that. What I talk about initially, then there's more, what we call jurisdictional challenges. There's a failure in the documentation to invoke a jurisdiction or authority within the complainant. Enough said there. Thank you very much to the gentleman who did that for himself. I try not to give false information, but I don't give it all, and you have to go case by case on your own case. When you find out you have a problem and you roll up your sleeves on that problem, you'll start to understand, I think, more what I've been saying. I'm just happy to hear about it. Don't usually get that. And I can't be more thrilled for that gentleman. And we'll see what happens as that goes along. Where you now see this private thing coming in with YouTube, they take out Sound Mind. That's another venue. The simulcast we can't go through. And as you see the censorship working inside the system on information, as Sound Mind is saying, all I talked about here is reality and how unreal it is that YouTube would cut us out and find excuses to cut out a content, which is the truth. And here's the problem. We're going to see some of that, the truth going throughout today, what doesn't happen and why we're in the position we are, and likely I would suggest we're not responsive as a people. We'd rather suffer whatever harms come upon us just to feel that we're okay. We're not as bad as the next guy. That's going to be tested here as we go forward, as they turn down this economy. Before we get all there, reminding you, Rumble is now where Sound Mind is going to be. And I think his account is called Weekly Notices and More. And he'll post all kinds of stuff like he did on YouTube. But we need a bunch of people going over there and maybe over to Odyssey, find his account and support it so he can go live again. And we're just going to try to walk away. The broadcast is going to try and walk away from every content link to YouTube and Google where I can find alternatives. You will see links that will embed a YouTube, but to my mind, I don't know if there are any ads pop up. I don't know that. My stuff's all blocked out. But I will probably still post embedded links, which really don't go to YouTube, but play through YouTube. So I'll use all their bandwidth without hopefully giving them a dime. But moving on to big dimes, and can I just say this? Jury says Alex Jones should pay $965 million to people who suffered from his lies about the Sandy Hook school massacre. If you don't understand that your so-called peers in this country are either brain dead or guilty of ignorance or brain dead or both here, I don't even know what to say on this. $1 billion judgment against someone who didn't kill a soul. You understand that? That murderers get less. Fauci is getting less. Oh, Pfizer just got fined $965 million. Maybe we should just get Alex Jones to pay Pfizer for the abuse they got caught doing on a fine. If you don't watch, let's notice how topsy-turvy all this is. Now, I'm not so partial to Alex Jones, and I don't know what more to say. You certainly have your own opinions on this. To have a gentleman who's doing, however lieful it might be. We have the right to lie. We may not have the right to do certain things, and defamation, free speech doesn't come without its consequences for not being correct. And apparently they were able to prove that, although I don't know if that's the case. When you looked at the judge in this case and the prosecution and what was being said, I'm not so sure. But enough said here. If you think that speaking anything is going to be free of consequences, now everybody is going to have, anybody who lies is not going to be susceptible if someone brings it forward. Whether or not they win is a whole different thing. But someone who they wanted to take out like Alex Jones has been made a big example, whether or not those people will get their money. He's kind of touting that, which I don't know if that's right now should be proper, that they won't get their money, but that's just sticking it in the eye of people that already don't like him. So anyway, that's not my job. It's not my what I'm doing. Understand that what we saw for Sandy Hook and what we're seeing is that, like, somebody like YouTube, a private corporation, or the government calling misinformation when it's not. You understand YouTube relative to the medical stuff and doing misinformation on medical does not understand what I've been talking about. That I am not talking contrary to local officials when I'm talking about this fraudy stuff. There is no local official that had made any determination under the law that they can balance their decisions against. None. That may be why the last appeal hasn't been answered, because we pressed that. You can't say this is misinformation when the local jurisdiction did not follow the law to make any lawful determination at all, period. And CDC has no relevance to local law. Why? Because the states have a health prerogative, and that becomes another problem that may be coming on, that we may have to step up and at least have our voices stated, because as long as we're crickets, as long as we be quiet, foreigners are getting the upper hand. So enough said here, I guess. I don't know what more to say. It just blows me away, the value there. I guess if there was real damage, he maybe should pay for whatever the damage was, but he hasn't killed anybody. Murderers, people in government who destroyed the economy and hurt people and are hurting people now. The fraud, the bribe that went on for this latest pretentious, presumptive medical problem, which didn't exist, was fabricated. Those folks are not going to get anywhere close to what this gentleman, Alex Jones, is going to get. And just astonishing. This is a showing us. We've got to be very careful as we move into, and be ready. Just be like the stuff I talk about here would be developing knowledge in you to be able to move forward in order to not be silenced. And as I think people were, and they proved that, that they would be silenced and they would not rely on local law. Yet I hear people complaining that the law wasn't there and they wouldn't rely on it, which is an oxymoron. If that's all you have in a war zone, you better start picking up the weapons you have. No one did that. I mean, zero. Nobody. Talking about individuals defending yourself against the imposition which came through the Communicable Disease Code. I'm pausing. I want people to think about this. These people are getting away with because you're silenced. And they were trained by you to continue. And they're going to continue, and they are continuing, even in places like Florida. Everyone believes it's DeSantis guy is doing something. We got a story coming on. No, they didn't denounce. They didn't denounce this pretentious, presumptive medical condition. There was no basis for it. There hasn't been. It was right in the bills. It was right in the condition. You can't have a presumptive emergency. I don't know what more to say. I don't even need a law, due process and duties in the law to tell me we had a problem to begin with. But another thing that was supporting these folks that moved this presumptive thing along, and this is an interesting story in that I don't know exactly what the content of these articles were, but a major scientific publisher retracts more than 500 papers. One of the world's largest open access journal publishers is retracting more than 500 papers based on the discovery of unethical actions. Okay, the appearance of impropriety is supposed to be important. Well, they finally found out 500 papers. The London-based Hindawi, which publishes more than 200 peer-reviewed journals across multiple disciplines, stated that its research team identified the June irregularities in the peer-reviewed process in some of the journals. Let me just stop there. I got more things to go. Just in June? Just then? and they're going to pull them out. I don't know what their subject matter was, but again, unethical relates to untruthful. And these are the kinds of things that these so-called experts were relying upon as we went, as I went through to try and show you within the context. I don't have to be too much of a researcher to see that there's fraud inside these documents, that they don't really say and do what they're supposed to be doing. And you can too. And that was where we didn't have to rely again. We don't rely on all that fraud either. But again, how many untruths do we go? How does our society continue when we start seeing this stuff? What can you rely on? That's the ones they found. And another thing that came up, it's made a big news, bombshell. These words bombshell, I really don't know, folks. I mean, what's the bombshell? This was absolutely in the paperwork. But Pfizer exec admits COVID vaccine never tested on preventing transmission. Now, I want to remind you, see, the Communicable Disease Code requires something on the duties, of the duties of a local health official. They're under the heading of prevention and control. We talked about here, I talked about transmissibility. We talked about there's no test. They talked about how do you know what you got. We talked about that it wasn't an organism. Of course they're not going to test for transmissibility if they're the planners of the attack, that they know it's synthetic and not organic. Why would they do that? Why would they test for transmissibility? And it was in the record. And you heard it behind the woodshed. Pfizer exec admits COVID vaccine never tested on preventing transmission. They said a couple of other things. I'm just going to put these links in. Go ahead and review them. Find the videos and listen to the words yourself. You need to hear what the words are out of the mouth, so it's not a doubt when you hear them from me. I wanted to read a little bit, but there's no sense in going through the dynamic. Just go find the videos. Listen to what they were hiding, and they're not hiding it either. That's the other thing. It's like we're creeping up on them or something. No, this was right in the record, and this a little bit starts to irritate me just as I'm thinking about this. So I have another link here. It admits that they never tested prevention transmission, and they say this is scandalous. Well, it's been scandalous since before it started, when I told you it was going to come. This was hindsight 2020, Operation Hindsight 2020. And if you just kept looking, you understood, I told you how the thing was working out. Why is this scandalous? That's my question relative to this week and all these people saying, all of a sudden coming out of the woodwork to say, oh, look at this, like they're officials or they're experts, so-called, they're medical doctors. This is not, the scandal is that nobody stopped it. No one noticed it. Well, not no one, but no one generally noticed this. And someone like myself, or someone like Sound Minds who syndicates the rebroadcast this content, is being cut out while everybody walks around wondering what did they just observe, and nothing's making sense now. I asked through a link through, I think it was RLM, the RLM Twitter account. They make a big wind over this. That's all it was. Maybe the hot wind about the Florida Attorney General, Surgeon General coming out. Another general in the war saying, oh, they found out myocarditis type problems for 18 to 39 or something like that. I'm asking why Tucker Carlson is making this news. You know, I'll put the link in the blogcaster for this. You can read it. I'll read a little bit of it. Did anyone else read the fact 2+ years ago about this harm that was sitting there? The Surgeon General of Florida was required to prevent and control. And I went and I looked at Florida law. It's prevent and control. It's universal what they're supposed to do. And it's limited to that. Remember, they don't have the power that they've been wielding at all. Neither does the governor. As I said, that's why I talk about stuff in the behind the woodshed that apparently confuses some people about what your due process really is, what police power really is. Everybody was falsely imprisoned. No governor. No local health official actually did what they were supposed to do. And I identified how you were going to identify that for yourself. Very few people stepped up to even make that record for themselves. I explained how to counter the mitigation that they were wrongly going to apply because they could never find that there was an organism that was infectious because it wasn't an organic illness. Besides, I say, and because, patently, there is no the virus and there is no test. Why test for transmission when the novel, i.e. patented, bioweapon is planned to be injected into the population at warp speed? I'm asking this of Tucker Carlson. Do you think I got a response on that? Do you think it might be important that we look at that instead of all this mitigation nonsense? Oh, my father dies of a heart attack and I'm questioning it and I'm a doctor. All the doctors coming out who bought into it, and I agree, we talked about that. People were persuaded. But there were certain objective grounds to walk from when you were on feeling that you were on eggshells. Yes, no one listens. Again, no one. A handful of you are, and thank you very much. Thank you for your donations. Thank you for your support. All of that. I'm not dismissing any of you. But you got to look at the population and what they're doing to the nations of the world. And the pinnacle of that destruction is the United States, because we were supposed to be that beacon that was supposed to resist all this stuff. Why I get irritated about this. Where are my people? Where are my countrymen? Where are my countrywomen? Where is everybody that was supposed to being free, beating in their heart? Everybody condemns the black and white in the law, and no one imposes it, and then complains it's not there. Why would transmission be something they would test for when they knew it wasn't real? There is no the virus to transmit. It was planned to be spread through the injection process at warp speed to those of you that weren't paying attention. To those of you that did, I'm not so happy about the fact. I'm glad I didn't. I was glad I'm aware. You are too, but I'm not so happy that I'm watching a bunch of people going to be hurt. This is a bittersweet observation as well. I can read these things on. You'll see if you could ever find. I don't know how they come up. I don't look that close. I made quite a few different comments regarding this, challenging the people that are making these assertions, how they're focusing on the harms instead of they should have been the people focusing on the prevention and control, which they could not have allowed these non-tested things, first of all, because, and it's come out, and it's obviously in their early paperwork, they didn't prevent a thing. They prevent nothing. And before, I'm going to move away from the United States for a second just to show you something else, because this is pervasive around the world. Court documents reveal Canada's travel ban had no scientific basis. So not only did they, again, the companies didn't test. Oh, we're going to go at the speed of science. Well, that's a fraud. The speed of science is just a big question. It's an ongoing question, if it's real science. What they're talking about, it went at the speed of cooking the books, the epidemiological proof, which is not proof. It's data that's manufactured and then presented to persuade people to an outcome. That's SMART. This has got sustainable development written all over it, if you understand that. And not only that, because there's other things going on. I try to focus people on a few things, because if you started to see what really is all going on, it's really overwhelming. I don't think our minds can handle that much. Certainly, we're not responding that well. But court documents reveal Canada's travel ban had no scientific basis. Was that a question? I really am getting irritated at this point. They're promoting that this is now a question. This was never a question. This was predictable what was going on. I said, folks, I told you all you'd be on the right side of history to resist, and I'm glad lots of people did resist. But we're not taking action to stop it. They're not going away. Do you think that the travel ban that didn't have science is going away? Well, it's in part, and here's how they start doing that. That's what they did in Florida. They don't condemn the condition. They don't go back through the communicable disease law or the predicates for police power and tell you how they got there. No, they won't do that. That would expose their dereliction to their duty. So what they do is they back off a bit and they say, we're just not going to impose more. They got caught. I told you this would happen as well. They only go as far as the natives will accept. Your silence is consent on any point. I need to be read more than the title. I mean, really, this is not even, I'm starting to feel a lot more irritated than I was when I put this together. This is not news. This is not breaking. This is not bombshell. This is exactly what it's been for 2.5 years. It's somehow now everyone's coming to it. Okay, great, fantastic. But we're still not addressing the real problem. And we let these people we exalt these people that killed others and harmed others, and these officials that had the duty to not, and now they're coming out, and now they're being exalted for exposing the harms that they allowed. It's the epitome of our fall in this country, as well, as I think about that. Breaking, Florida Surgeon General finds 84% increase in cardiac-related death in males 18 to 39 following mRNA vaccine. Recommends young males refrain from receiving COVID vaccine. The title of this is fraud. There is no vaccine relative to state authority. Where do I get that? Go to your communicable disease law and look for the word prevent. Prevention, control, and the vaccine, so-called, can't be vaccines at the state level for use. I said it's not in their medicine bag as a mitigation measure. And it's not even mitigation. Prevention is not even mitigation. So that was the other thing. I just made a mistake. You see how fast and easy that is? Mitigation is not stopping. It's like risk management. No, this is supposed to prevent your decisions as an official, public official, doing anything with anyone. Not the whole people. Just everyone that is brought before and then has to go through the due process, which each one of you have a protection in the due process. We found under one state, it's literally the habeas corpus. And so again, I'm not giving you bad advice here. It's just whether or not you want to find it in your state and apply it and prepare yourself. But here we don't have an mRNA vaccine. We have a gene therapy that doesn't prevent. And the local official does not have this lawfully in their medicine bag to help people because it prevents nothing. Again, there's transmissibility. There's no live organism, or there's not even an attenuated one to cause any transmissibility. Why would you test for it when you know that? Aren't these self-evident, these things? I would hope so, but they weren't, is our problem, generally. I'm just reading these titles again. I don't know what more to say. I've talked about all this, I guess, as well. And maybe that's how I'm going to get through a lot of these tabs today. I'm reminding you. What's coming out and now to extend the problem is an exalting of those that caused it and a feeling by those that see that there's someone they've exalted in doing, pointing out to harms and saying, oh no, the 18 to 39 shouldn't take them. It completely gives to those authorities the power to be criminals because they didn't say stop the rest. And well, I can say that because they didn't do their communicable disease law properly. And had they, I'm certain, absolutely certain, this thing would not have been able to rise up like it had. So everyone's putting too much into their officials. And they're not putting enough into the black and white that guides the official. And then I see people complain that there's no limit in the government. Well, that's because I don't see people imposing that limit. And I send another upon this Florida Surgeon General who says he advocates healthy living. If he really advocated healthy living, he'd go look at his communicable disease law, which is it's a police power concern. There's due process required. There's duties required. This country is a limited form. It's written, at least. It's not being functioning and people are not allowing it. But because I don't see much response, but I do like to see about it. There's an interaction. I responded to Gary L. I sent it to Gary L. Wanted to ask because he may have a better insight. Never know. We're looking for different things. Maybe I don't see all of it. But certainly I say he can do better, this Florida Surgeon General, than fraud by omission. And to take the appropriate actions, which was a link to another Twitter that I did, but I say, and I ask Governor Ron DeSantis, right? Certainly, this Florida Surgeon General should have acted better than fraud by omission. To what am I speaking is the Twitter I put out, the tweet I put out before. Isn't it the truth? Because this Florida Surgeon General says that the Florida would not be silent in the truth. And so they promote that they're talking truth. This is what I'm telling you about how they divert the attention and how they exalt themselves and you think they're talking truth. And if you haven't thought about it any deeper, it looks pretty good. But in fact, it's covering a crime. And my prior response to that was, isn't it the truth, the Florida law 831.003 and 64D312, which is the administrative rule, requires prevention. And we know, meaning there is no the virus and there is no test, mRNA patented chemical weapons prevent nothing. You helped kill people because you didn't follow law or due process. Tell the whole truth, or please resign your post. I did get a couple of responses to from my followers, so I don't think how this gets out so much. You see what he's done there? As he points out to the harm that he caused, and he talks to a truth, but then I got realized that he's not talking the whole truth. And we hear about the oath and the witness, nothing but the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. This is how these people work. I'll tell you the truth, but it's not the whole truth. Am I incorrect is an open question to y'all who want to respond to me. You go to those Florida statute, the Florida code, which is a legislature's will demanded upon the executive to execute, and the rule, the 64D, is the implementation of it by a definition. And they're consistent that prevention is required. It's not even, they're blinded to that. They can see nothing else. How this gene therapy, how this chemical weapon got into their blinders is another question that shows the corruption level. Anyway, I don't know. I've said all this before in some regard. So I've asked DeSantis, isn't this right? He should have not done a fraud by omission to explain that he caused it. And how am I so arrogant and bold to blame him for it? Because he had a duty, if he's the head health officer in that state, the surgeon general in this war against you. I guess the modernization of Smith Month allows him at the state level to propagandize to you. It wasn't him. I see that the legislature said it was for him. It was for the governor as well. That's why I advanced the link to him. Neither have answered. I surely would like the whole truth. I may not be right, but certainly tell me then. And again, people commenting to me, I do this wrong, I do this broadcast wrong. Just show me how you're doing it right. Stop criticizing me about how wrong I'm doing it and show me what you're doing right. Same thing here. Don't point out the harm you've caused and then get exalted for pointing it out when you caused it. And people don't allow it. Folks, don't allow that to them. As we then hear it and go on, these people got their foot down their throat so deep it's not even funny. And my problem with this DeSantis guy, I could care less. I mean, they got maybe great people outside of the office, but inside that office, they have some certain duties. I'm not speaking to the men in this regard that are making these decisions necessarily. I'm speaking to the official that had certain objective basis to follow that was in the tripartite realm, it was dictated to them by the legislature who's supposed to represent the people. And the people said, when you have a communicable disease, when you have a police power concern, you've got some predicates to fulfill so that we don't get run down and tyranny doesn't strike the land. DeSantis comes out, I guarantee you, as he says, relative to monkeypox now. DeSantis claims monkeypox states of emergency will end with abuse of authority. Pointing out to everybody else, remember, you go point at someone, you got three fingers pointing back. DeSantis guarantees you that the states that implemented monkeypox emergency will end in abuse of authority at the time he is abusing his authority, where he didn't follow either police power predicates to acquire the power or the communicable disease law, which is the legislative determination of how that police power would be invoked. And then the limit it would be invoked. That he points to someone else, doesn't want to have you recognize the three fingers pointing back, where he never stopped this pandemic that didn't exist in his state, first of all, but that there is no the virus and there is no test that we hear today has no transmissibility because it's not a virus, because they can't even test for it either. Now they can. I've told you how that worked. And I told you there was going to be a shift. I predicted that and it happened. They can check their coding is involved because it's synthetic. They hid that underneath your what? Your inappropriate PCR nonsense. They can check for that. And that means likely because it's patented novel. Remember, novel and patented are the same word here. They're patented. Like Monsanto patented its seed. Its seed got into the neighbors and Monsanto won in the pollution, in polluting his neighbor with their identifiable genetic code in the seed corn. And the victim or the property owner next to him was victimized, and yet that victim lost again. If you don't understand the, again, the moving forward into what our justice system is allowing, and you have to then go back to the 1992 Convention on Biodiversity to start to see how that was insidiously brought in. Despite some resistance, it still got brought in. But DeSantis, I guarantee you, this states of emergency will end in abuse while he's doing the same thing. See, monkeypox, so-called, is just an extension of this attack. And he didn't stop it. No governor stopped this. Not even Nome. Is it Nome? Is it South Dakota? For as much credit I would give a lot of these governors for putting up a little bit of resistance, they never fulfilled the law. And so now we have people coming out, being exalted, these officials, for something they've caused. It is a mental defect in our society. It has to be. Everybody's guilty in this, or they're brain dead, or maybe both. I'm not quite sure. But it wasn't like we didn't know. It was all written. It wasn't really hard to figure out. Even if you had never heard it behind the woodshed, this is the thing that irritates me as well. People don't listen. Most of these, everybody doesn't listen. There's only a handful of you that do. Thank you very much. Hardly anybody in the world listens behind the woodshed. But that wasn't my responsibility either, because you didn't need to know about how this was coming on. Operation Hindsight 2020, that when an official in a land where you live made a statement who their authority was limited and you didn't go check it, you didn't need to know ahead of time. Once they started to act outside the law, you needed to step up. And if you didn't, likely that's going to come up to no good. And what kind of no good did DeSantis and the Florida Attorney General, you think it's just this 18 to 39 group? No. Expert estimates 20 million are already dead due to COVID vaccination and over 2 billion injured. Again, this title. There is no vaccine for this. First of all. Secondly, I want to point out a lot of people were running with this. It's an estimate. And he did what I've done behind the woods, just, okay, if you take and extrapolate these numbers, they're going to be huge, huge, huge. And why do we know that? Because it's not an organic thing. It's a chemical weapon. And it was designed to the software of life. But somebody who has analysis capacity looked at the VARS, and I'll give you these links, notwithstanding the problem with the word vaccine, that he does put that word in quotes. When you extrapolate the numbers, he's coming up to 20 million are dead by this. I don't know that I'm going to hang my hat on that. The point is it gives you an alternative way to do the epidemiological analysis that the CDC or the WHO, they're not the rock group, they're all, or the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization cooks the books in order to broker and promote the coming of the destruction and the turning down of all your local governments by their authority. Remember, all those studies, 500 were found to be invalid. Don't know what they were, but this means that your science is not what you thought. Your science is the peer review process, not science. You have to observe and think and apply and reobserve and rethink and reapply to what you see and observe and think and reply in science. And you then adopt certain ideas, and then you test them, or someone else tests them. Epidemiology is like a CPA doing your taxes, and against the people, they were caught. They're starting to get caught not doing their tax books right. It's a different thing than science. And so this is the limit you put on these numbers. He was apparently able to do this because of his prior authorities, and I can't remember now what they were. He could do the analysis of it, maybe some market thing, and he was able to do the same thing the CDC does to promote. He could show you just as easily, Vince, how they show and they can indicate a worse condition. Peter Halligan is the guy's name, 20 million saved or 20 million killed. And that's what caught me in saying, yeah, you can, it depends on how you frame your problems. It depends on how you, what you make important. He says here, an article in the Lancet claims that 20 million lives were saved with the use of injections. Note, the injections are not vaccines. They are gene therapies, that is a therapeutics like ivermectin, that should have been regulated as therapeutics. The manufacturer stated this in the regulatory submission and SEC filings. Understand, this is going to come up here in a moment. The Security Exchange Commission. And so here's, he's outing the fact that these are not, these are injections, they're jabs. They're not vaccines by definition, for the state level anyway. I mean, I guess the CDC can make all these definitions, but for the state official, it's not applicable. And then he brings up an interesting point. This is therapeutics like ivermectin. The point about that is once they found ivermectin or anything else could prevent, that removed the authorization power. So the CDC fails again. It shows you they didn't mean to prevent. They mean to attack. And people are now dying in this war. As we reported before, and I forget the gentleman's name, he said, this 18 to 39, how many weeks ago or months ago have we talked about this, that when he looked at those numbers, that age group suffered a Vietnam War death mortality in 1 year, not the many years that the Vietnam War extended. This is not news. This is what the ramifications of officials that didn't do their communicable disease law and a population that didn't insist. We have, and thank you to an emailer to bring my attention to this, more doctors coming out. But in this one was kind of interesting in how this gentleman comes to the terms. His father was adversely affected by some heart condition, but relative to the vaccine, he started to see that. He was a doctor, cardiologist. He says the COVID vaccines must stop due to the risk of adverse events. Scientists and doctors push back. Thank you very much, finally. But it's not due to the risk of adverse events. It was due to the failure, the official dereliction of duty. And as long as we have people that are so-called experts in this, who got duped and focus on risk management, you're missing the point as a population. I've talked about risk management and where this smart MSMART thing goes, the sustainable development, how they manage this. It's risk. It's not suppression like a firefighter. They don't suppress, they manage. And they manage based on risk. And that risk formulation is whatever they think is important. Like, Gaia is more important than you. The cardiologist says COVID-19 vaccination must stop. But he based it on risk. I say they must stop because they don't prevent. The officials never follow due process. Why don't we rely on the law first? Why is everybody focused on the fallout? And then ask about the risk. You're going to just impose, you would just cause someone to impose the risk. They could just cook the books again. You don't stop it until they can do the risk assessment. You stop it at the point they never developed the probable cause, the demonstrated the non-fraudulent exigency for the police power. This had nothing to do with medicine. Just like this situation of identifying had nothing to do with medicine, but if you were a patent reader, you could see what was going on. So, great that Asim Malhotra, MBCHB, a prominent London-based cardiologist and author, has gained considerable attention after detailing his changing thoughts on the legitimacy of necessity of COVID-19 vaccines. Malhotra wrote two editorials about his changing perspective in the Journal of Insulin Resistance, where he works as an editor. He has also been discussing his stance with the media, appearing in press conference hosted by the World Council of Health, and regularly discusses the topics. Point is he now gets into, he's an editor, he gets criticized for being the editor, putting his own stuff in, it's like any other journal. We don't know. And I'm suggesting that we need to stop relying on the experts that were duped and go back to how this thing starts. It's not in the risk assessment. It's not in looking for expecting transmissibility would have been tested. That's our other problem. We're expecting this was a normal thing. There's nothing organic about it. This story will explain this doctor's change of heart with the COVID vaccines that they keep promoting that it was, even though we know it was just a therapeutic that was nothing tested about it. All this is in, I don't even know, why do I have to keep saying that? Why am I not reporting on everybody, getting all the emails or whatever, how everyone's been attacking this, exposing how your nations get taken down and are going to continue to get taken down? And so I found out this gentleman and this cardiologist, well, who am I behind which? Anyway, you'll realize here I'm not talking medicine. This had nothing to do with medicine. I respond to what came through my feed, responding and pointing out his article, supposedly exposing this. What was it? Somewhere in Israel, of all places. And I responded this way, adding, local law doesn't allow a substance absent an organism to be a vaccine or can't prevent, and lawfully can only be used by a local official, the limited duty of prevention and control. Bioweapons are meant to harm, are patently unlawful without further analysis than that they exist. Who am I to talk to this cardiologist? Is the point. I don't have to be a cardiologist to find out that the law would not have allowed it. And no official insisted. And no people they represent insisted on being protected by their law. The fact of the existence of these synthetic substances at all is a bioweapon. They now have to show how it's actually a dual use. The gain of function defines it as the military weapon. The dual use is attempting to acquire the exception under the law to be able to be used. The dual use is the military starts using it, and then they have to find a second public use to the citizens. When they are saying they didn't prevent, they're saying there is no dual use. How simple. How simple. That's how they're bioweapons. That's why I lead the sentence with that. In 288 characters, nonetheless. I mean, you understand how limited the communication style is here they put on us. There's so much more that I could say, you know, and I'm doing a little bit here. But there was so much more that us as people everywhere should have been doing. Indeed, remember, indeed, you know, by their actions, that works for the natives when they get restless. Indeed. And respond, indeed, now we're going to see the table start to turn. And if you're coherent on your knowledge, your basis, your foundation from which you stand or move, you're going to be way more, I don't just say formidable, way beyond formidable. You will prevail. You have the mass and the foundation. You ain't moving. This is an immovable object on a foundation that's not moving. But no, we didn't do anything as a people. And so I respond to Dr. Seem Malhotra. I want to have him add, if you will, if you know him, tell him, add this part. Add the part of the local officials failing the local law that you can't call it a vaccine until it can be shown to prevent, and they couldn't have used it, and therefore what they gave to his father was illegal, unlawful. And under American law, it was a bioweapon where they were saying it was a preventative. It was not. That was the dual use excuse. I also responded to someone who said, how did we get here? I think it was the same gentleman. Well, he was responding through Robert Kennedy Jr.'s post in a video. And I'm not condemning any of these folks. In fact, at the end of this, I have a hashtag, critical, not antagonistic. I'm critical that these folks that are intelligent, they're capable, they're caring, they're off point. He wants to know, how do we get here? How did this institutions that were supposed to protect us get here? And my response is because they, the capital T, they, figured people out. People will not insist on enforcement or local communicable disease law, duties, and due process, which would have checked this warp speed attack, and but for a complicit judiciary. And they were right. People didn't. Hashtag critical, not antagonistic. Hashtag there is no test. He wants to know how this thing went in the institutions that we have, how this thing went unchecked. Because no one checked it. And the law was there to do that. How we have some people that are so intelligent, and I see that Robert Kennedy Jr., he's an attorney. I understand. He's an advocate, we're told. In a way, I don't question that for him in this. He doesn't respond. I got no response on this. Nobody responds to tell me that I'm wrong. Show me how I should be right. How to make it right. Nothing. Crickets. Crickets, crickets, crickets. It's like, I don't know what am I speaking to here? Who am I speaking to? Who are these people that get exalted that have no point, actually? They're looking at the skeleton of the arsoned building. How do we get here that we allow the arsonist? Never going to go after the arsonist. And I write these, I was inspired a bit to write tweets only to try and continually show it's off point where I don't find anybody who's talking on point of what was supposed to happen in the first step. We're all looking at the burnt building and bemoaning the dead bodies. When everybody watched the arsonist with a can of gas douse the structure and light it. And despite all this awareness that's coming, even to the mitigation side, even to show now the Florida Attorney General acknowledges there's some real harm here, that age group suffered the Vietnam War mortality in 1 year. We don't talk about the rest of the people, though, obviously. No, that might bring the problem way too big. Governor Ron DeSantis says there's a few people that were the Parkland shooting. One juror said, no, we're not going to do the capital punishment. He got all upset, saying that's an injustice. I haven't written it back. I don't know if I'm going to, but what's the injustice for him not stopping in its tracks, leaving unchecked a pretentious, a presumptive non-condition relative to communicable disease? What is his culpability where he wants people to die over Parkland? What about the Florida attorney, the Surgeon General? What about any other official in any other state and any other country? Now we're bringing the Alex Jones things up. If you want to start lying, you're going to have to start paying. Watch out how that works out. Watch out. We should have had accountability, but we didn't. And then that one was the wrong accountability, and that's setting the stage for this new sustainable development nonsense. When they make it up, you're going to pay. You heard about carbon, haven't you? Fulfilling this objective, remember, this is a weapon to advance something. This wasn't what it was. This wasn't what we saw. It's proving itself out. The World Health Organization is a broker of harm. I've talked about this for years. The pig's fly flu, remember? It's nonstop, endless disease. The mitigation for these things are invalid on their face. No authority whatsoever. However, the agents of change are in the system, as Klaus Schwab will tell you. They've been there. We've identified them since, 2013. It was a name party in a lawsuit. Jefferson Money District. We sued this. It was done in equity. And so it didn't last very long as far as getting an answer. And they all defaulted out. The Bar Association was one of the parties. Academia was a party that we don't have to name, but it aids and abets that treason. And here we have, again and continuing till this year, the D.C. mayor, no vaccine passport, no education, even for virtual learners, to show you how they're tripling and quadrupling down. Same thing as their injections. Notwithstanding that Canada just lifted all that, or lifting the necessity of that, and notwithstanding that there was nothing that there was based on, and there could not be anything that's based on in your local official to do any of what you've seen. That this educator, an academia, promoter of the future destruction of your little ones, will enforce the thing that's causing the harm. Strict new rules that has major civil liberties concerned. Well, is that all, folks? Is that what they fought? Even these identity, this exposure, they focus on civil liberties? This is the destruction of your government. This is the overthrow of what your life, you thought your life was about. This is the transformation they keep talking about. This is a change agent that's going to bring that in or insist until they're stopped. The District of Columbia Mayor Muriel Bowser said kids who do not have a vaccine passport within the first 20 days when the school resumed next week, Monday, will not be allowed to get educated, even for those doing virtual learning. Yeah, it's a little bit of a dated story, but you see how it starts to fit in what they're doing, the continuum of destruction. I've told you they're after your little ones. Why hasn't the Florida attorney, Surgeon General found harm across the board? It's the same chemical weapon attack. No, but this educator, academic, change agent, wants your little ones, wants them harmed, wants proof of the harm. And I'm suggesting do not underestimate what I don't mention too often. It's a novel, identifiable hybridization of a synthetic, privately owned chemical in your little ones, which can identify them no different than Monsanto was able to pollute and infect and take another innocent party's corn. Now, Kanukistan says, we have no science. Now we hear now they're going to scrap their app. Arrive can to be made optional as of September 30th. I guess I just PSA to all you up there. If you haven't heard from it, I'm sure you've heard of it in Kanukistan. It's optional. But see, that's the problem. Optional. It should have been ended. There's no authority for it. It's only to maintain the rein on the leash on the ring in your nose to have the population of Kanukistan not denounce this and start taking action to throw out these bums, these criminals. Not just bums. Bums, we probably appreciate bums. I remember bums when I was young, playing around the rail yards. They weren't so bad, just going from place to place. But these folks in official office, no, these are criminals. So scrap the app. The arrive can will be made optional. Is a notice to you all, these folks aren't going away. They're going to continue the pressure. They're going to continue it as a color of a validity in order to bring it back when they need it. And better, and when they've really scared more people, this is what they're going to have to start to do. Then we have another story. Federal government scraps arrive can proof of vaccination at the border, masks on planes and trains. As this more of this truth starts to come out, it's being said people are getting riled up to be responsive, and I'm saying you got to do more than be riled up. I hear there's elections coming up. Maybe that's part of it. But I think privately, you need to do things on your own, and it would be great if you all did it in mass, and then you knew about each other, and you focused in on, like I was told, those were the gentlemen that did a pre-plea remedy and avoidance. All you're talking about is the law. You're not talking about your condition. You're not talking about what's going on. You're not giving them any information about the situation and what's going on and admitting that there's even anything. You're saying the law was not fulfilled. There is no authority here. Period. Done. We're not talking any further. As I told you to do, have the official identify where they complied with the will of the legislature to do the duties that were listed in the code. You don't talk past that. And if they don't, they failed. And we're supposed to have a remedy for that. When you don't have a remedy, then you realize how deep this problem is in this country and in every country. As of October 1st, the process to enter the country will better resemble the way it was before the pandemic. It's the wrong title. There was no pandemic. It was a pretentious, a presumptive medical thing that was invented, no different and novelly than the warp speed attack that was an injection. That caused the transmissibility of the harms. The federal government recently lifted travel restrictions and border crossing. This is out of Kanukistan. As of October 1st, 2022, travelers no longer have to use the Arrive Can app, the widely controversial mobile app that was used to ensure vaccination status and collect information normally collected at customs and immigration. Well, guess what, folks? It shouldn't have been highly controversial. Law would have said it was unconstitutional, it says unlawful, and it was a criminal, official criminal misdeed. In any rate, I guess it depends on how you frame it, right? If the news keeps talking hesitantly about the truth and not the whole truth, you're being programmed over time to continue and allow them these things that are unlawful to be controversial. Being a criminal is not a controversial thing. Murdering somebody is not a controversial thing. You understand what I'm saying there? Murdering someone's not controversial. Nope, it's wrong. It's totally wrong. There's no controversy about that. And yet we now are exalting people like the Surgeon General out of Florida for exposing that he killed and maimed a whole group of men. Again, I'd like to have him come back on the Twitter in 288 characters. Tell me how that didn't happen. Don't explain how I'm wrong. Explain how you're right. And do it in short words, because this is not that difficult. And those I told that pressed and could press, and it would take the press, not the writing, not the journalism, pressing, pushing, resisting. And in this case, it was an attorney who wants to claim that they were the first to do this, and I'm not so sure, but it doesn't matter. Pushback was made. Stopping quarantine camps in New York State. Again, this is on law. This is not about looking at mitigation risks and looking at, when we can figure out the risks are okay, that they're good enough. This suit was more about a rule, and you have to go through, they kind of tortured this as well, and this is another thing you have to realize. You don't just get to the real simple point. You know, they torture how this is going to maybe work because the government's given presumption of being right. Stopping quarantine camps in New York. Imagine a land where the government has the power to lock you up because the unelected bureaucrats of the health department think that you might possibly have a communicable disease. They don't have to prove that you are sick. They don't have to prove you are a health threat to others. They just need to think maybe you are possibly exposed to a disease. I need to interject. I wasn't going to interject, but I have to. Remember, disease is just the symptoms. That's not the infectious agent. So this article is not actually quite right when you go look at the communicable disease code, but what they're explaining is what did happen to y'all. There was no communicable disease code impositions on the official. And so they were able to just say you were sick of just a symptom and not have to demonstrate the non-fraudulent exigency or infectious agent, the actual one. The article goes on to say, and when I say lock people up, I mean lock you in your home and force you from your home into a facility, detention camp, pick your noun. Then they get to choose and you must stay there for however long they want. No time limit, so it could be for days and weeks and months. Now imagine that there's no age restriction, so the government can do this to you personally or to your child, to your grandchild, or to your elderly parent or the alien grandparent. The nightmare continues because you have no recourse. No chance to prove that you aren't actually infected with the disease. No chance to confront your jailers to see the supposed evidence against you or challenge your quarantine order in a court of law before getting locked up. And they can use the law enforcement to help carry out their forced quarantine or isolation order, so the knock at your door can be very well be the sheriff. You are locked down in your home, isolated, in accordance with the health department's order against you. Sound familiar, folks? And this is what people did and accepted. And so this is a setup in this article to show us what happens when you finally say no. But it's not for you here. This was a general quarantine order through a rule. This dystopian horror sounds unbelievable to an American, this article goes on, that the government has the ability to control one's every move is unnatural to us. Politicians and bureaucrats being able to have unbridled power to tell you where you can and cannot go, when you can and cannot do, and who you can and cannot see in this very antithesis of what our country stands for. It flies in the face of, quote, liberty and justice for all, close quote. After all, we are supposed to be a nation of governance of the people and by the people for the people. Well, that word governance is incorrect. It's government. Governance is what they're trying to bring you into. But notwithstanding these little problems in this article, the governor gets challenged in this state. Isolation and quarantine procedures out of 10 NYCRR 2.13. And apparently it's challenged for a separation of powers concern because the governor's not supposed to make laws. Only the legislature can make laws. An agency can only issue regulations if the legislature empowers them to issue. Simply put, an agency cannot just make up rules on its own whim. It must have a directive from the legislature to do so. And so we go through in this article and explain that condition. And we explain that a lawsuit written by the lawyer who brings it forward, the attorney that brings it forward, our lawsuit is the first and only lawsuit of its kind in the country, and its importance cannot be understated. If the regulation is allowed to stand, and then it will signal to all agencies that they can make regulations that conflict with the constitutional laws of the state. If that happens, then the legislative branch of the government will no longer be a co-equal branch. Instead, it will become a subservient to the executive branch because agencies in the executive branch could make a rule that conflicts with our laws and constitution whenever they want it. It would render our laws useless. The upshot of this case is they did file suit. It took someone to file the suit against the governor's agency's rule change. And this was the article that starts to explain it. Because of that challenge, the court ends up striking down the quarantine camp regulation in New York State. Understand that they do not attack the fact that the governor needed to have a better than a presumptive suggestion, foreign suggestion, that there was an infectious agent somehow. This Bobby Ann Flower Cox, an attorney who apparently does this suit, who was not named in it, but if I got the order correct. We have a tremendous victory here in New York. The Supreme Court judge just struck down Governor Kathy Hochul's forced quarantine regulation. This happened back in July. Judge Ronald Floats ruled that the isolation and quarantine procedures regulation is unconstitutional, violative of the New York State law as promulgated and enacted, therefore null and void and unenforceable as a matter of law. Now, I want to show you here that it had to go to the Supreme Court. So there's the first problem, but that's the nature of our occupation. Why justice takes a few attempts at the apple, they would say, is astonishing to me to see. It's a reality, but you have to be prepared about that. This goes on to explain their victory, that although I say it's tempered because it wasn't a victory if it had to go to the Supreme Court. Again, remember what I was told about the gentleman who did his pre-plea remedy and avoidance. The original court did not give him justice. It required him going to the appellate court before it was recognized. There are these due process requirements. There are things that are required for the state to do to bring you forth, and if they're not done, those things are inadequate to bring you to prosecution for felony acts, or at least allegedly, which weren't, because you're presumed innocent. This is the problem with the people who don't understand this pre-plea remedy. You're innocent. And as long as you challenge that properly, or start making the record of your challenge to the jurisdiction to be able to hear that, or the party to charge it, then you have your protection if you stay there prior to plea. Once you plea, you've entered the jurisdiction. And the shifts change. You still need to try to force in now your avoidances, but they're handled differently. So there's another site that she was involved in where they claim they won. I put this together because this is the group that actually, I think, did the lawsuit. So those of you that may think about how to move this forward may contact her or that group. Maybe if you don't have a mind to do it yourself. I would hope, I don't see the route reason for why they did that. They did a tact of mitigation. They allowed the governor to have that power. That's not proper in my mind, but any port in a storm, in a way, stopped the quarantine orders. They're found to be unconstitutional. Well, they're found to be in violation of communicable disease code, which I would say is actually the dereliction that should have been outed, but you're not going to find the system outing itself. I give you a link here to that decision, order, and judgment, and it's got officials involved that came forward as the legislature did that. I find that interesting. They also didn't say that, wait a minute, you got to have a police power concern that's warranted. No, they went and they did the machinations through the rules, which I don't think is proper, but again, you take the win that you can do. Again, it took someone to do that. Maybe she's the first attorney to actually attack that, but I don't think she's the first attorney to challenge the executive on improper handling. And we have not found universal success in even that much. Then we move a little bit over that we don't stop this, and we continue to give the executive the power to have the determination power rights, which the court is handing to them without challenge at all, which is violation of law. But we now have talking about Robert Kennedy Jr., I think this is his website, more man-made pandemics are coming. Here's why. And so here's again an acknowledgement, as I've been telling you all the time, now coming about this, but they now focus back on that gentleman Boyle, Francis Boyle, who I talked about before, who wrote the law that put the criminal teeth in the bioweapons problem. And this is an interview again with him. And I wanted to bring this forward, not to rehash this at all, but here's a link. He is calling this WHO health treaty that's supposedly on the books, apparently has no movement against it. And he's saying we need to step up. And we need to send our messages to the Senate, the state Senate. Likely all countries need to have whoever the governing body is for, the governing body for about allowing treaties in your country. They need to be focused on, and letters need to be sent to avoid the treaty, to not do it. I would say suggest that the tripartite government requires, and the federal state relationship requires, as the federal government admitted and conceded in the reservation of the International Health Regulation of 2005, that the way the United States is made, the states have the authority. The states are the primary, are not, the Congress does not have the power that was reserved to it in its construction. That's your initial discussion. But Boyle is saying we need to step up. We need to address this WHO thing. They are lobbying behind the scenes now, if you will. Not public to us, but they're there. Maybe not denying it, but they're lobbying the Senate now to make this law, make this treaty, which it's said in here by a court case. And I didn't have time to go research it. But if a treaty is made, subverts the 10th Amendment rights of the states. I'm not so sure. But if that's the case, then I'm wrong. There needs to be a pushback and a silence on the part of the people to not assert that they have local rule in the country, while the WHO, a foreign entity with a transformational agenda to destroy your country, is lobbying the Senate to destroy. They're supposed to be representative of the states as well, lobbying your state representatives at the federal level to destroy the state's authority. You need to be stepping in and point that out. And I would also maybe raise it up a little bit level. These people are committing treason in the state. It's up to the senator to stop it. I guess my point here is Boyle is the author of this criminal law. I told you that was powerful. If we can come in on his authority to being the author of that, of what the real intention was, that it's been violated, it's not being enforced, and the people start to push back, I'm all for telling you about that and maybe organize up what you can, as you've heard me talk about, maybe with him, and make a more organized response and start sending your letters back to the Senate. We really don't want this one to slip away and have that enforced, and then try to get a judiciary that's complicit with the foreign overthrow to say that it was unlawful. So this is one of those more pragmatic things to do than it is something that we would expect our government to protect us. They're just shown that they won't. This Francis Boyle guy is pretty interesting in my mind, being the author of the criminal teeth that are still yet to be imposed. that could be imposed when there's more people coming to the Senate to say, listen, here's the story. Here's the condition, and here's what you were supposed to do. Maybe even bring up that Title 18, Section 4, and Section 3. Go read it, folks. When you find crimes that happen in your government and you tell the official is required to go and do something about it. Give it to the one that's supposed to do the justice. Give it to the one that has the power to stop it. Again, as a representative nation, the trap was the people don't have that direct power. And so we have to do it differently, as problematic as that might be. So the power, the currency here is in the people to move it forward. I think this was, I think, a proper call to arms, if you will. Your pen's mightier than the sword, they say. We've found that it works, and I want to advocate that you do. Step up, take a little bit of time to think about maybe what you've heard me say, find your own information, put a concise little statement together, send it off to the senator, and then persist on letting them know, getting a response from them and a commitment if you can, and just start letting hopefully tens of thousands, even more, of people responding to all their respective senators. Contact this Francis Boyle. Get what he thinks. I've told you a bit of my apprehension about moving down this track where everybody talks after the step, after the fact. Then maybe you can put that into your verbiage and your desire to see done correctly. In other words, the senator has no power to actually agree to this treaty. It would be a treason for them to do that. It is, even by the authority of the IHR 2005, the federal government saying that they didn't have the power. That's essentially the law. And there's no power in a state. The state can't give up that power. That's through the senator, I guess, is another point. So I'll stop there. You can get you can look, either track it down or find that this article at the Defender Child's Health Defense. But be cautious as you do to not allow the second step to be the first step. Don't allow the risk and mitigation and the fear drive it. You got to just go to the law. Do that pre-plea remedy and avoidance type thing. Don't allow this to get into the hands of those that believe they have authority when they don't, like a judge without jurisdiction, like a prosecutor without authority, like a complainant without the right to complain. This is part of that process. It's just a little bit different. All this is bringing, the WHO power is supposed to, by the way, by they're talking about, it's supposed to subvert the local ability to have a say. And you saw the crime that they've allowed. And I'm glad to see a lot of the doctors up, for as much as I may be critical of them. They need to be speaking up, too. They need to be bringing up, this is what's happened when, because the WHO was involved, because the UN is involved, because the federal government got involved, because the governors of the state didn't get involved lawfully, because the local official, health official, didn't get involved locally. They were derelict. There's a bullet point presentation you could make. And that you don't want to see the existing structure change on a senator that likely doesn't have the authority to do so, and that I would ask, can you present the authority that you have to do so? Maybe that's the challenge there, and you back them off because you've engaged and you've done it hopefully respectfully and also right on the point of the law. You're not arguing about how it hurts your kids and how it causes a rash and how I got blood clots. No, you say they don't have the authority up front, and you give the reasons why in the black and white. Now, as this transformation of the globe is happening and the economic attack this is through a political war, remember, the war is just a politics by a different means, as we heard last week. Move us now into the general global sphere. And what I suggested was, out in the world, we're not seeing a difference over what they're doing inside the government. They're just doing it a slightly different way that ends up being the same end. And so I'm going to move us into the economic sphere, the global sphere, on how we're watching under the, let's say, even the color of what we think is going on in Ukraine. And I told you, watch out, even though I think Putin has a point. He's bringing on that agenda just in a different way. They're doing it here in the United States. It's interesting, globally, this thing's coming down on all of us. It all has the same root. Now, we'll hear who has the influence If you stay silent, this foreign aggressor, this trespasser, is going to gain the influence over people that you thought was representing you, which we, all this is being destroyed in us, or what we thought there is being destroyed, that we thought was right, requires you to step up. What I've been asking people to start to do, don't use the excuse you don't know, or it's too complicated, you got to learn too much. It's really not that complicated. When you have a criminal after you, when you're facing a gun, and a robber asks for your wallet, then there's no question about that. That's not a controversy. Well, unless you want to fight it, and then that's going to be, you know, you're putting your, that's a decision you have to make in the moment, don't you? But let me move into now the economics of what's going on and how we see the news on the horizon. As I've been telling you, this ultimately, this track and tracing that they're backing off even in Kanukistan is underpins the crypto scene. And I told you this a long time ago. It took a lot of heat. Continue to take heat for this. But it's coming to bear, and it's coming global, and it's coming in the moving into now the spheres of authority are speaking, and they're explaining how they're going to try, they're doing it. They're actually putting effort to pull this entire thing into a global sphere of control. It goes offshore as well. Is SWIFT's latest cross-border SBDC solution a step forward? It's a critical look at a news that may have been through, that went through, that I don't know if many people saw, that SWIFT is moving forward on bringing together an ability to do cross-border payments globally. Now, SWIFT is a certain organization. Remember, and don't forget what happened here recently, where there was like Russia and China kicked out. There's a political schism in this too. But I told you that bipolar mentality, this bipolar mental problem that's now developing is another way. Again, you got the good cop, bad cop thing. You got the competition. They're eventually going to have to come together because business typically is either, well, if you don't do it that way, you're going to be outed if your competition's better than you. So there's going to have to be a linkage. SWIFT is them right now working with those that are inside that system. The SWIFT WSIT announced the results of a central bank digital currency SBDC trials for cross-border payments, Capgemini. It interlinks multiple domestic payment systems, multiple CBDC or MCBDC, for cross-border payments, describing the solution as groundbreaking. This critical insight here through ledgerinsights.com. Remember, Bitcoin's just a ledger entry, a permanent record. The reading of this from this organization is the approach is still uses intermediaries to cross-border payments. The intermediaries constitute a significant cause of friction in today's payment system. So while this concept might be practical to enable CBDCs to be used cross-border, it's unclear whether it's a solution to today's challenges in cross-border payments. Let me just stop here. You can go through, and you really need to learn more to understand how well along these CBDCs are, the problems that are involved international by the international players. Understand there's an underlying veneer of interest in there that people making money all the way through this. The main problem apparently is the cost of these transfers, and the intermediaries cause the friction. The intermediaries are how it's like money laundering. How do you get from one place to the next when you really don't have parity? When you don't, I mean, in the law, how do you do that? It seemed as I was reading through this, it's very interesting. They talk in terms of sandboxing these things. Have we heard that in our browsers? Have we heard that in our software? Yeah, this is all consistent. SWIFT system is a middleman, if you will, for all these nations to be able to interact with each other. They aren't doing this as an experiment. Well, this is not some idea. This is implementing itself. The CBDC, this is central bank digital currency, will not be your crypto coin. I told you this was going to be a separation. They'll use it. You'll be connected to it. We hear how the Fed's going to do it. You'll be a trust beneficiary to their private control all through the computers, track and trace, just what the app in Canada was supposed to do, the beginnings of all that. What we already see China's already doing. And if you don't think the countries are on board with this they started in the crypto, the Bitcoin type stuff, blockchain type thing. If you think that the governments around the world aren't ahead of this already and haven't been in there, we see now Iran of all places is, I don't think they're in SWIFT. I think they got kicked out with Russia and China and all of them. They're doing their own thing now, remember? Cheerfully admits using cryptocurrency to pay for imports. This is a one big money laundering, property payment laundering system. The thing they said that they needed to control it for you because you were going to do money laundering, exactly what the governments were going to do with it. Iran cheerfully admits of using cryptocurrency. And this is the threat to the United States, that they needed to get ahead of this. The point is that it's not going to come for your needs. You're going to be used to support it. Iran has announced it's used a cryptocurrency to pay for imports, raising the prospect that the nation is using digital assets to evade sanctions. The thing that the government was afraid you'd be doing. Your local fines, fees, taxes, payment, all that stuff, right? If you didn't think you lived in if you had no other thought about it, what they're actually doing here. Stop there. The governments are already into this crypto thing, for as much as they've been denying it all these years. Lawmakers call for the exploration of a digital dollar. This is back in August 25th. I'm reading this now again. All this stuff we can read. So much to read. A bipartisan group of lawmakers are calling for the exploration of digital dollars so that the U.S. can compete with other developed countries that have launched digital versions of their currency. Let me go back to Iran. I'm not sure, folks, and I don't want to make a religious war out of this. Just want to make a point, and I don't know all the words quite right, I don't think. But I don't think that being that Iran is a religious state, I don't think if I've looked at the Quran, if that's the book they focus on, it allows for digital currency. It only allows for gold and silver. Hey. Just like America has lawful money, good money, not bad. So while you're watching these governments do this, you're also watching them defeat the people who have a religious belief in their systems, because this thing is a godless system. It has no ethics. It's the beast, actually, if you want to look at it that way. But understand the government who professes to be, all these governments seem to be the same. They profess to do something under color of being something, and they're not. They just use it as a cover, and people are okay with that. If what I'm saying is true, the Iranian people need to rise up against their government because they're actually violating the basic principle of how they morally exist. But we look around, everybody, all the nations are doing it. Again, if we just go to the United States and we didn't put any religious connotation on specie being gold or silver, we've been far away from that, and now they're going to move it one more place away, and now it's privatized, isn't it? If you haven't thought about how controlled we're about to be, then consider, well, what you're hearing here as we move these things through, these are not new things. These are been in the mind. They're just being promoted that they've been asked about. But they're now the lawmakers, and this is the problem. As I said, if World Health Organization is lobbying your senators, the lawmakers will be asking to have your rights taken away as a treaty, and it becomes very much more difficult to challenge that. In particular, where you're in front of a judiciary that's foreign as well, gives you lip service as to how you're going to support your local laws. In fact, everything you see indeed never does. Pakistan threatens to cut off digital ID of hecklers. So this digital ID is connected to this digital currency and your digital world and your social life. When they quote hecklers, when they consider you a heckler, maybe like Sound Minds to a YouTube, like a MasterCard, a heckler, what, a PayPal? Misinformation, we're going to fine you? Who are these people? People too, corporations. When you're deemed a heckler, you'll have your digital ID cut off. That digital ID is tied to your existence. It's your currency. And what are they going to do with all this? You get it, and you're seeing it in the news come out, the Klaus Schwabians, the people who are advancing all this, and they're not the, they're just the face as well. When you see Kanukistan saying you don't have to do the app and it's going to go away, but it's optional. Oh, okay, it's still going on. What are they doing and modifying? MyCarbon, an approach to inclusive and sustainable cities. Okay, so there's not anything rural here. Forget about your cows. Forget about your plants. I don't know how they're going to, I guess they're going to feed you an LED high-rises that grow salad. In the book, The Denial, journalist Ross Clark describes a dystopian future in which everything we buy or do has a carbon CO2 value and each household or individual has a carbon allowance with the maximum amount of CO2 that they're allowed to use each month. No household or individual is allowed to exceed a CO2 allowance unless they are part of the elites who, of course, have no restriction on their CO2 use. The Denial was fiction until 14 September, that's just a few weeks ago, Klaus Schwab's World Health Economic Forum published an article entitled MyCarbon, an Approach to Inclusive and Sustainable Cities. Let's just go right down. You can read the rest of this stuff. If you've heard this behind the woodshed, I just want to point out this is in the news. More people are seeing it. And this is how it starts to roll out. Part 3, How Carbon Allowances Will Be Controlled. In this part, Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum article proposes a model showing how our rulers plan to control our individual carbon use. The first one is listed economic behavior. As I've been telling you, this is COVID was an economic control and an economic hit. That's a political transformation to do an economic hit. And they say the very first thing listed here is economic behavior. It's going to control your behavior. And they're already doing it. Nobody responded to this threat, as I was suggesting that you ought to. And I say no one. Don't get all your feathers ruffled. Some tried and some are. Some are at least mindful. All right, that's a big deal. You know, here, economic behavior. Very first thing on the list, increased cost of carbon-intensive activities and goods, economic incentives to reduce demand and improve efficiency, as determined by governance, not government, not the legislature, but some bureaucrat in a far-off land. And utilizing, let's say, the WHO treaty, if you don't speak up, because they got it through and we can't get a judiciary to do the law of the land, or they'll just say it got changed on us and we consented. These demands and improved efficiency are done no different than the epidemiological overthrow that they call science. They cook the books. They frame it the way they want it. They put the denominators of what they're protecting in for you. You have no say. We also have cognitive awareness on the list, raised visibility of personal carbon footprints. This is all mind control. The raised awareness of personal carbon limits to sustain the transition to a net zero carbon society and social norms, new definition of fair share of personal emissions, setting an acceptable levels of personal emissions. What did I say, fair share? That's sharing your wealth. Remember, A2030. So we're seeing again in the news more notice what the important thing for them is. How are they going to do it? Your little phone. Or some connection, some hardware. So that if you're a heckler to this system coming on, Pakistan's already showing you they're going to cut you off. Lawmakers are already showing that your digital currency can be cut off. They're telling you that with the Fed for the United States of America, the people will be a trust account, which will be beholding. It's a private organization. You're going to hear we're having a discussion here at some point in here that someone points that out. The Fed is a private organization. You're going to be, according to them, and not under the Constitution anymore. And it's all because of the influence of these foreign people that are or organizations that are way more numerous than anybody I know, even though we're 300 some odd million people in the United States. With 30 some odd million over there in Kanukistan, all quiet or arguing wrong points or arguing. So I said, I've told you, you don't argue. You make your point. And when you do a pre-plea remedy, it's not an argument. It's an exposure of a failure. You're not arguing. It's not he said, she said. And so this is the same thing I'm advancing every week to come and tell you, as long as I can, to learn how to think better and how to advance a non-argument position of failure on the part of an authority or someone who doesn't have a right to have the authority. And it's going to be up to us to explain that. So here, we move through from, maybe not easy to see in the links here. We go into SWIFT, national, international. They're already using the digital currency type things to do things, even if you're in SWIFT or not. It's global. Lawmakers are making this, normalizing all this stuff. And now we see they're going to be pushing this carbon. That carbon market never went away. They talked about it, but it never did. It's sitting there. It's all idling. As they got everybody riled up with the chemical attack. And got everyone to believe it wasn't. Economic behavior. If you don't think that is Bitcoin, which is not going to be a coin. It's not going to be a currency. We've got a story coming if I get to there. As this thing rolls out, as we see, again, technology and corporations in the way. Just want to observe here, Amazon begins a large-scale rollout of palm print-based payments. This is interesting in that it doesn't sound like much. Oh, it sounds like an old story, but the point was, because of the fraud they put in everybody's mind that they called something, disease symptoms, they now have gotten everybody afraid of everybody that you don't want to touch a thing. They got rid of cash that way, too. You don't want to touch cash. You're going to be a transmissible vector, even though the Pfizer says, oh, we've never tested for that. Why? Because it's not transmitted by an organism. There is no the virus. No, they've got everyone believing that they can put their hand, and they will be putting their hand over a scanner. They don't have to touch it now to read the palm print, which is likely also going to be in your phone or coded. Attached to what? The currency they're going to be managing for you. So this is, again, all coming underneath the fear that we cannot interact with each other. And cash is no longer king. And I'm saying you better make at least cash, even if it's fiat, king. Because they're redefining things on people. And I've said that you're not responding to that, and that's going to be the new future. Transformed right as you all watched. And moving into what transforms is something I showed you and explained was a danger. And I would have never thought I would have had this lady here on the broadcast and talking about her. I think we're talking about deaths and things and morbidity. These celebrities don't die off quick enough for me. Not them, their celebrity. But they keep coming up in my feed and irritating me to even just have to see them all the time. This lady pops up in a very interesting way, so I can't not talk about it. It has nothing to do with her. It has to do with what the government's doing through her. Now Kim Kardashian settles charges with the SEC for unlawfully touting crypto security. Listen carefully right there at the title. Crypto security. I told you when I first heard the very first case against the crypto coin exchange that the SEC was involved, I said, that industry had better stop that, otherwise they're not going to be a currency. And this case where Kim Kardashian settles the charges, $1.26 million, for not disclosing that she had a link that she was paid to promote a cryptocurrency called Max Ethereum, or Ethereum Max, I think it was, exposes that the SEC treats these cryptocurrencies as a security, not a currency. No, the cryptocurrency that's being developed by the central banks is going to be the currency, as I told you. And this is an important story, not because of her. What's kind of interesting, how much money she got paid to just do a tweet or whatever heck it was. That the government stepped in and said, what you're doing is promoting something without complying with securities laws. Ethereum Max is what it was called. Another competitor. And so, to my dismay, I'm actually talking about this celebrity because of what the government is telling you what the so-called cryptocurrency they handed you was going to be. A story that I got out of on the internet which kind of touches this, and you go to the ends of these stories where they expose this. Kim Kardashian's case was not the first instance of a high-profile celebrity was penalized by the SEC for unlawful touting. In 2018, former professional boxer Floyd Mayweather Jr. and music producer Muhammad Khalid, formerly known as DJ Khalid, were charged for failing to disclose payments related to the promotion of investments in ICOs. The investigation regarding the entire fiasco surrounding Kim Kardashian's promotion Instagram most is underway, with officials from Enforcement Division's Crypto Assets and Cyber Unit and New York Regional Office involved in the case. This is already in your states, folks. This is not a federal thing from the SEC. The states are already looking after this as a security. Now, things of commerce in this are federal or jurisdiction, but your states are apparently going to get beginning money all this time to watch out for this. So this is already baked into the system this way at some level. It's a matter of framing it and defining certain things, and the government gets what it wants, as I suggested would be happening. The next article here from Al Jazeera, cryptocurrency is facing increased attention from United States Congress. The latest bipartisan proposal on crypto came in August from Senator Debbie Stabenow, a Democrat from Michigan, and John Boozman, a Republican from Arkansas. It would hand the regulatory authority over Bitcoin and Ether to the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Bills proposed by other members of Congress and consumer advocates have suggested giving the authority to the Securities and Exchange Commission. This year, crypto investors have seen prices plunge and companies crater with fortunes and jobs disappearing overnight, and some firms have been accused by federal regulators of running an illegal securities exchange. The point. In the video of the previous link, it says there's a place where it talks about this, where the announcer there doing the interview says there's another issue that a lot of folks in crypto are watching in this, which is that Ether Max was clearly being deemed a security, which raises all sorts of other questions about how other tokens will be regulated in the future and securities or not, and whether places like Coinbase will ultimately have to turn to be a broker-dealer if it's not an exchange dealing with the SEC. Did you hear anything about here either way, whether it goes to the Commodities Futures Trading Commission or the Securities Exchange, that it's a currency? No. They're going to redefine this thing. Exactly what I said what's going to be happening. Your money that they're going to have in the future, this digital, will not be Bitcoin. It's going to be regulated. As I told you, they do. The governments have learned to do that. Embrace it, bring it in, regulate it. Tax it. Have control over it. This is going to be Bitcoin is a ledger that's permanent. And yet the criminals, who are actually the criminals, I think Kardashian did $1.26 million. That was probably cheap advertising for her. She's going to work with the SEC now, as they now double down to make sure that it's a security, not a currency. Those that are really, the criminals are running, and they're getting exalted, as I told you earlier. Now we hear Nobel criminals, Ben Bernanke and two others, win Nobel Prize in Economics for crisis research. I don't know if I want to spend any more time on this. We found Obama, B-O-M-B, Obama, got the Peace Prize while he's bombing the heck out of some foreign people over lies. Now we see the Nobel Peace Political Prize advancing and promoting the agenda gives Ben Bernanke, of all people, a Nobel Prize for his contribution that sets us up for the takedown. There's not much more I can say about this nonsense that we're seeing in the world promoted as valid. These officials, these foreign dignitary things, these prize promoters, these experts in the field of the globe are all pushing the same point. They all give credit to exalt people that are destroying us. The IMF says the worst is yet to come. Warns 2023 will feel like a recession. Well, that's interesting. Everyone is saying it is already a recession. They're just saying it's going to feel like it. I'm wondering what it will it be, actually. But they're predicting to you, they're setting this up. They're in control of this IMF. Remember, this is where Lagarde said that the jabs were the economy. And we understand that's going to be endless. That's written. Now that people are now coming onto it, as I read a little bit in the broadcast here, it's ongoing. This is not going to stop. And if you see the WHO lobbying to gain further control over the states, then you should be alarmed and you should take some action. because this is ultimately the economic control, behavioral control that it's been planned to be. And everybody seems to be in on it because those world leaders have been well placed and placed there for a long time. And for some reason, the population hasn't witnessed that or seen it, and they want to keep their mind in how they're programmed to talking about their politics. That politics is transforming. It doesn't matter here, real soon. United Nations calls a U.S. Federal Reserve and other central banks to halt interest rate increases. Central banks risk pushing the global economy into recession, a UN agency said Monday, as if they're predicting the future. The IMF just said the same thing. It's a pretty consistent story. But look at what this organization, the United Nations, is doing, lobbying a private organization to do monetary policy in the direction that they need it to go. If you don't understand the influence that's going on, the foreign influence on private organizations, essentially, in the news, telling us that the people being silent are being out lobbied by foreign people, which is not even new either. But this is part of the problem as we fight amongst ourselves, as we think that we understand what's going on, and we argue that we don't. Oh, the mask made rashes instead of oh, and risk. Oh, we got to be careful that, you know, there was a risk. Now people are dying. No. That would have been not even a question had the law been first. And now they're going to change that law. I don't know. I don't know what more to say. This is really interesting how we stand behind here. As we now hear, as rare as it is, remember they said all these injections had rare side effects, which weren't, but that's what the people bought. It's official. The Fed's in the red. Moving on down through here, this gentleman named Wang, they keep referring to Joseph Wang, the former trader of central banks of open markets and desk and the founder of the Fed Guy blog. He states that the Fed being in the red, the move to an operating loss is notable because it so rarely happens. In the years since the global financial crisis, the United States Central Bank earned more than $1 trillion in interest income that it remitted to the U.S. Treasury. So those of us that are supposed to know what's going on, you look and see the government that gets the remittance above back to the Treasury itself. And what, not on your taxes, apparently. And while losses are likely to be uncomfortable for the Fed, policymakers who will have to answer awkward questions about it, it's not expected to have a major effect on monetary policy. Okay, that's only half of it. What's about fiscal policy? This isn't something to be concerned about because it doesn't have a meaningful impact on monetary policy, and it's likely temporary. Likely temporary. The feds cannot go broke. Well, they tell us 2 weeks, right, folks, for the jab, before the jab. The feds cannot go broke. The operating loss will go away when the feds cut rates during the next downturn. The optics of a money-losing Fed, aren't good, though. That's right. That's their whole point. They're afraid of what they look like. Because if you get natives, you listeners, you natives, if you get ticked off about it, they know that you can actually take them down if you just would. Another statement here on another article. The Federal Reserve is officially in the red, posting the first operating loss in years, according to the Bloomberg. The new Fed data shows the central bank reporting earnings remittance due to the United States Treasury of -$2.9 billion as of October 5th. While the central bank cannot go bankrupt, going into the red is the icing on the cake of what's been a rough year for the Federal Reserve. It is still battling inflation, and multiple financial experts and organizations worldwide criticizing the Fed for raising interest rates to combat inflation. The bank has made billions in extra interest income from its expanding balance sheet in the years since the financial crisis. If you thought that was all about fixing things, no, as I told you then, it was all about fixing the fixes in. And they were going to make more control. And then now you're watching it go to digital. The Fed's interest expense, the interest it pays banks and RRP counterparties, increases with each rate hike, says Joseph Wang, a former trader of the central bank debt desk. The 75 basis point September rate hike pushed the Fed into an operating loss with expectations for a higher for longer Fed. The operating loss is likely to significantly increase in the coming months. Heads up. Position yourself accordingly, folks. I don't know what else to say. I don't know how else to say that if we look at the stability, even though it looks like it goes up and down relative to the costs and the dollar value getting into gold and silver is really a hedge against this problem. So just don't be on the rail tracks when this starts to come and hit. And people are complaining about 6% interest right now. I remember a time when it was 23. If you think it can't get worse. And that was all planned, all set up. It keeps knocking us down as a nation. And this is now reflecting. I hadn't heard any problems with supply. U.S. households see electricity bills soar as energy crisis comes to America. I've never heard of that crisis. It's self-inflicted. Have you heard about that crisis, really? Well, maybe if the green agenda gets its way and carbon footprint, they keep taking down dams, which don't create a darn thing relative to that. Truly green energy. And your costs going up, you know, imposing all this green technology that's not, all this polluted, pollution-oriented stuff. When you look at the bottom line of all how this green technology works to generate your power, it's going to go astronomical. But why in the United States? The United States household will see a rise in electricity this winter as a result of tight natural gas markets. Why? Because they're sending it over to Europe when they could have let Russia do it? Self-inflicted wound. You think the president of this of the United States means you well? Goldman Sachs. Oh, what do they have to do with it? U.S. gas shortage is finishing this summer well below averages when we hear Europe is well advanced and their prices are actually dropping. It won't matter. The prices are so inflated, everyone's going to be hurt. But it's coming home to roost here. Price of natural gas are trading at 94% higher than the start of the year, 370% higher than the 220 lows, the 2020 lows. Why? It's because it's a setup for a takedown. There's no reason for it. We move back over to Europe. We think, oh, this is of interest. Here's green power. Well, the ministers hope to ban solar projects from most English farms. You think, oh, wow, okay, they're making food important. But in Europe and the EU, be careful. This is in Britain now. Be careful. They want to stop you from putting solar projects in, which likely is good relative to your farmland, but remember, they still work on the sustainable future, and they're going to cut out your nitrogen. And a lot of these lands that they're doing it are marginal, and the complaint is, you're not going to grow food on there anyway. When they take away your fertilizer, you're not going to make them productive. So here's how you start looking at this story. This is a very interesting way that they get at us. It makes it sound like they're preserving your farmland, but in fact, when you get it into practice, it won't, because it'll be underneath that green and carbon zero neutral regulation. In other words, and your land is controlled. So this was kind of interesting when I saw it. Oh, wow, okay, maybe they're paying attention. When you read deeper into the story, you start to find, no, it's going to be based on some bureaucrat deciding based on carbon neutrality, on nitrogen neutrality, climate change, and all this other fraud. Fraud. This is what we talk about a lot here. This is how you start to have to attack everything. I think it's the lead cause. The lead action done to go against somebody. I want to move the discussion now a little bit over to the FBI here in the States and something that just popped up here a week ago or two. Former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page discusses FBI corruption involving Igor Dechenko and how government surveillance transformed his life. I want this as a object lesson of what's really going on behind the scenes, why most people think the government's lost and it's futile. It can't be futile if you're still there to do the rejection. If you're not there to do the rejection, then it does continue. There was an interview that was done, and again, I'm sending my any YouTube link I now go through. If I can find it anywhere else other than YouTube or Google stuff, you're going to get it there instead. And so this was an interview that was done by former campaign advisor Carter Page, who was spied on by the FBI for an entire year with no charges were ever brought against him. The DOJ admitted that the two of the FISA warrants used against Carter Page were not valid and that the Justice Department lacked the actual probable cause to surveil Page. Beginning of the broadcast, I was saying that's what the pre-plea rumors are. There's no probable cause. There's no law. There's no this or that. Carter Page is an example that he wants to give credit to the FISA court. I don't think so. These guys are all playing the same game. But it is found that the law enforcement, now FBI is global, remember, will lie. This is the same thing about the bureaucrat in the farmland. They will lie. They will tell you that they are trying to do something right and they're not. This is the same thing about the Pfizer. They didn't even expect to have to do transmissibility. Now they're being asked about it, and they said, no, there is nothing. All this is a lie. It all could be checked by objective basis. It now has to go through this process where justice does not come quick. That's the failure of this system. Justice ought to come quick. They actually use that as an excuse in the judiciary. So now the DOJ admitted that the FISA warrants were used against Page were not valid. Now Page is suing the DOJ and FBI for damages. It's interesting how he was able to, his case was dismissed. How this came out was that they tried to seal the record of a different case. The Igor case. And they were able to find some information about this Igor Danchenko was on the books of the FBI while they were asking him to validate his story, and it goes through the dossier and all that other stuff. And I don't have time to read all this. You need to hear this. You need to see what's going on relative to the law enforcement in this country, United States, and probably everywhere. You know, we exalted all these people. They need to be constrained. The suggestion, defund them, right? I mean, stop providing the money. Stop giving them so much they do this. Start having systems that actually do check for the justice. Carter Page is not had his case dismissed. It's now been reinvoked a different way, and then he gives concession to the judge that the courts are being defrauded. Well, the courts seem part and parcel. He exposes the entire case against him was a sham. It takes another case in order to reveal that. The FBI is critical to this. If you don't think, they're also going through this Bitcoin thing, this blockchain. I mean, I got a report, they're even going through your little ones and their blood DNA to do this. Another story about the FBI lied, the plans to seize a safe deposit box. An old story by the Lato's Law, I want to bring this up. They went through third parties to get at you. And this kind of brings up the Fed being your trustee for all your life's money and accounts. Well, here it is. Police used the baby's DNA to investigate its father for a crime. These organizations go through third parties to take you out by forfeiture. They go through third parties like the FISA court to lie to get advantage. And until we get a handle on that and start to push back, not be silent on it, this example is everywhere. The WHO does it. The UN does it. Your senators do it. Your local governors do it. Your local surgeon generals do it. They give you a half-truth at some point. They may not even give you the total truth. They just assume a power. They presumed a health problem, and it didn't exist. It wasn't actually a question. It's not a bombshell. It's not a scandal. The scandal is they're getting away with it still. And I hope a lot more people agree. I hope you would promote the broadcast. I hope you would like it. Rumble it, I guess, is what you're supposed to do on Rumble. Spread it around. Let me know what you're doing right more than what I'm doing wrong, although I want to know if I'm doing something wrong. I always have to change that and make sure I'm not giving bad suggestions and observation to waste your time. I'm not here to waste anybody's time. I hope something I've said has helped you, get you inspired, maybe give you a focus on something. So I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.